The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. And I do mean proudly. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midlin in the house. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm just looking at Kyle Kuzma's latest outfit from last night.
You see the one with the where he had that like big puffy thing in front of his head?
Oh, maybe that's what I just saw. I thought it was from last night.
No,
maybe
it was from a couple nights ago. Yeah. He'll wear that on the street.
It's interesting.
It is interesting. Can I file this show under a sneaky good show today?
Yeah.
Sneaky good. Nick Whalen will join us from RotoWire, talk NBA and Super Bowl 57 with us later in the show. Wes Reynolds, after a day where we highlighted him on all his Grammy Awards thoughts, he'll be here to talk golf with us and college basketball. I'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl as well. That's also in play.
Maybe he's got early thoughts for the Grammys next year. He's already scouting out what's going
on. That's right. Wes, can you give us any preliminary Grammy thoughts from next year?
He's banging down the studio doors. He's like, what are you recording in there?
Here's the thing about Wes. If I ask that question, he will have a good response.
He'd have an answer.
He'd be like, well, Gil, you know, there's this album forthcoming that should drop. He'll use all the music and lingo also. Joe Sheehan will join us. How about that? From the Joe Sheehan newsletter, give us a couple baseball season win totals very early, but we got that going on. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave, talk college hoops. Hopefully we will hear from Mike Martz, the architect of the greatest show on turf. And again, later the head coach of the St. Louis Rams, but won the Super Bowl as the architect, as offensive coordinator with the greatest show on turf, and then lost the Super Bowl as the head coach. I will try not to offend him as I did Morton Anderson. By the way, that's my biggest fear is that now word is getting around. Morton Anderson called Mike Martz and said, don't go on that show.
He was not offended at all. I got a newfound respect for Morton Anderson after that interview yesterday.
I dared ask him the question. In the same way that John McEnroe will look at a Novak Djokovic or if Roger Federer and say, "Oh, we were never as good as these guys," do you look at Justin Tucker that way? And he did not want that question. I mean, that's what we do with Mike Martz. I'm gonna be like, in the same way that John McEnroe looked at Roger Federer, did you look at the 2007 Patriots offense and say to yourself, "We were never as good as"? Like, I should do that with
everybody. I
thought
Morton was gonna be like, "Call him up right now, get him out on the field. We're gonna settle this once and for all.
Let's go kick off." By the way, could you coax Matt Brown out there while you're at it for that kickoff as well?
Really.
One Super Bowl macro note. A record 50.4 million adults in the United States, roughly 20% of the entire United States population, are expected to combine to bet approximately $16 billion on Super Bowl 57. That's according to survey results released by the American Gaming Association. The number of expected Super Bowl bettors is up 61% from last year's survey and is equivalent to how many adults in the U.S. participate in running. I love that they went with that comparison.
Wait, did I put that note in there?
It's in there.
Wait, I don't even know. Now, I know I put this note in, so I'm running. Just asking questions. Like jogging for exercise?
I think so. But think about it. They're like, let's come up with a comparison.
Wow.
That's the same percentage of Americans that run.
That's incredible. And we have no idea how many kids will be gambling.
What's quaint about this is that 4 or 5 years ago, before legalization, and obviously it goes up every year because more states are in play, but 3, 4, or 5 years ago before, well, it's actually now it's 4-plus years ago, before legalization, it was like, you know, super awesome for us to be like, oh, we broke the record and about $127 million were bet, you know, that kind of thing. How hilarious is that now?
How much stuff has changed in
Man.
5 years is
incredible.
Just amazing. I mean, I guess 6, right? You really got to go back 6 at this point.
I want to start the show today, something by popular demand, Kelly. And by popular demand, I mean, there's a few people that are already asking me about it on Twitter.
I appreciate you being honest about it. What's the man? I'm surprised you're gonna blow by Clay. Big night from Clay last night.
Well, Clay had a big night, but you know what I was really gonna say? Just pulling back the curtain a little bit. Off air yesterday, Kelly was talking about golf. He was sweating his golf bet. And he's like, God, when I do my golf stuff, would people stop naming their kids Cam or Cameron? And I'm laughing about it because I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of golfers with that name that were named Cam for sure. And last night for the Brooklyn Nets.
Cam Thomas, baby.
Cam Thomas dropped 47 a night after he dropped 44, a game after he dropped 44.
So I got it on the Clippers Live last night, and I'm sitting there because I got hammered betting against. I was on a pretty big position on the Wizards on Saturday. So I'm sitting there last night, like, pulling my hair out, like, is this guy going to freaking do this again? Someone get Kyrie back here. This Cam Thomas is killing me right now.
If you look back at his history, which I did, because I'm like, okay, what's the deal with Cam Thomas?
What's the deal with this guy?
You go back to high school. You go back to D, I think it was D at the, no, it was G League already. Every level he's played at, he destroys.
Dude scores.
Right. College as well. But he destroys. Like, he has monster games. And now with the removal of Kyrie, I guess he decided this is my moment. 44 followed by 47 in the Nets loss last night to the Clippers, 124-116. But yes, Clay,
NBA golf, way too many Cam cameras.
A lot of cams.
I don't know what was going on in the late, you know what, the, I got to think about this now, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Very popular name.
Shut it down. Stop doing it, people.
I think they did, though. Didn't they? That's all names like that. They're very cyclical like that.
They are.
Go away, Cam names.
They are.
Yes, Clay did have 42 for the Warriors. He was on fire. There's nothing quite as hot as Clay Thompson hot on a basketball court.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Especially when he starts getting cocky, which is like easier for him to get these days.
Starts doing the nod.
Yeah, yeah.
141-114 Warriors over the Thunder. And the trade deadline now looms 2+ days away. Not even 2+. Yeah, 2 and some change. It's 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. There was some, you know, Stephen A. has come out with the, just be very, very careful to watch that Kevin Durant could end up in Boston. There's some speculation. Jaylen Brown could go the other way. And there was some talk in the Bay Area. Hey, could KD go back to the Warriors? The KD to the Warriors, let's just quell that right now. That cannot happen before the trade deadline. It might happen in the offseason, just like the rumors were in this past offseason. But there is contractual problems in quotes, meaning barriers with Jordan Poole and with Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins being like a 6-month freeze where you can't trade him after he signs the extension, where they couldn't include those two guys in a deal. For a potential deal for KD, if we're speculating.
I'm glad you went further down the rabbit hole on this team.
Because if the Warriors were to trade for KD right now, it would have to include like
a match salaries.
It would have to include a Draymond Green or a Klay Thompson. So it's not going to happen. But in the offseason, it could, because you could include a Wiggins or a Poole, and that would be more.
By the way, what Gil's talking about right now, if you're ever going to play the whole NBA trade machine, and look, you can go do that at ESPN. That's the biggest thing you have to factor. Yep. These salaries have to match up. So there's all these like conversations about Kevin Durant getting traded. And it's a massive salary that you have to be able to match. So it's something to keep in mind. I'll stay here. This could be it could either be a massive trade deadline or it could be nothing.
A whimper.
It could be whimper. Yep. Kyrie could be by far the biggest thing that we see.
Absolutely could be. By the way, how much do you get into my speculation?
I'm going to comment on that one real quick.
Yeah.
The Boston Celtics, I'm going to go along with you. Boston Celtics are not trading Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant. Sorry, it might make them better right now. That team has a bright future ahead of them. I do not think there's a package that Boston wants to put together to give to Brooklyn to possibly make that team more competitive for 10 years to come with Jaylen Brown.
It would be fascinating because remember, there was a period of time where Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can absolutely not coexist. Yep. This team cannot be successful with both these guys. Pendulum swing completely to the other side. Oh, well, they're in the NBA championship with these two guys. And now you're exactly right. If they were to do that, it would be such the short-term, let's get our ring now and consequences be damned.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd do that. I don't think you can.
I mean, Gil,
you still have the best record in the NBA. Why would you do that?
How many teams in any sport are lucky enough to sit back and say, we got two guys that we should be able to build championship rosters around for the next dozen years? And maybe that's a stretch. 10 years, whatever, 8 years. That's what the Boston Celtics have.
Yeah. More likely, KD stays put. The Nets make another deal for some ancillary parts, maybe with the Raptors. And we'll see what happens. Now, again, getting back to the betting side of this, you want to get ahead of this. If you believe that a trade is going to happen, like if you really like one of these Raptors is going to end up in a Nets uniform and that makes them, you know, title ready as far as I'm concerned. I do not believe that, quite frankly. But if you do, then you'd want to get ahead of that and bet the Nets right now if you think that's going to provoke a major shift in the betting markets, which, by the way, I don't know that it would at this point because you still have the Bucks and you still have the Celtics there. So I just don't know that there's a trade. That's why I was asking, yeah. And I'm going to ask this of Nick Whalen later. I asked this yesterday of Bespris, and I'm not sure I got the answer I wanted. What's the player-to-team move, right, that is the most market-moving? Is there one? Is it DeRozan to whomever? Is it Zach LaVine
it's
to whomever?
Zach LaVine to the Miami Heat.
There you go.
Because I think that's one that they're having conversations.
But what if KD does say today, he's like, you know what, I want out. Trade me.
Pelicans can put up a platter that Brooklyn, I'm not going to say they can't refuse, but they can put up the best proposal out there.
As was the case this past offseason as well. By the way, LeBron.
And I want to see it so bad.
LeBron 36 away from the all-time record Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The big favorite now is not tonight's game, but of course Thursday night's game against the Bucks. You betting that either way?
No, but if I had to bet one, if I had to, it'd be tonight. I'd rather take the plus money and see him go for 37 tonight.
Short plus money, but still, I would agree with you. Prohibitively now favorite for Thursday night against the Bucks. We'll come back, Matt Cox on college basketball, and we'll begin that segment with the by popular demand college basketball formula, the annual one that isolates potential championship winners. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly, would you like to say something to Brian Windhorst? Anything you wanted to add?
No, it looks just great. Just fantastic. Maybe go easier on the spray tan next
a little
time.
Easier. We get tweets beating the book. TJ Stacks. Hey, Gil, I hope Kyrie knows Mark Cuban is Jewish and not Cuban. By the way, if you're landing on this show for the first time, they're probably like, what kind of show is this?
That's
the greatest
tweet,
listeners
though.
Ever. Greatest listeners ever. Rick Ollier. Hey, since Gil is on his humiliate former kickers tour, when will Scott Norwood and Ray Finkel be on the show? Mike Rouse, how about doing the pro tip today in Stephen A's voice, Gil? But you must use however in each tip. Pro tip. However. The best was in 2004 where he completely got the Pistons-Lakers thing wrong. Because he thought the Pistons had no chance. Pistons 1-5, but he just kept going to slow, but Don Medvedenko's gonna guard Kobe Bryant.
Here's another one. Is this? I didn't even catch Jason Kidd's press conference. I'm assuming this is about Kyrie yesterday. There's literally dice on his Dallas Mavericks hat. So you showed up to a press conference where I'm supposed to get the impression that you're rolling the dice.
Is that what that is?
I mean, there's dice on the Mavericks logo. What the heck else am I supposed to read into that?
By the way, Medvedenko played for the Lakers. I watched that. All right, let's bring in Matt Cox. Let's bring in Matt Cox from Three Man Weave. We had Jim Root on yesterday, but we bring in Matty Cox today. How you doing, Matt?
Gil, great. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Listen, I don't mean to step on your little segment here, but we do something every year before March Madness. You've probably been privy to it when I've done it. And so usually we don't do it in January, but we figured, well, you know, it's the week before the Super Bowl. Let's actually spend some time on this because a couple people brought it up on Twitter where they're like, hey, can we do an early look at the college basketball formula? This is the tried and true college basketball formula that has produced virtually without stain the criteria needed to ultimately become college basketball's championship. Now, I've done this on the podcast. I've done this on this show for all the years that I've done this. The last 32 champs, there's six elements. The last 32 champs had more assists than turnovers. Okay, no big deal. as we'll see, it might be a big deal this year. 31 of the last 32 had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience. The exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies, when Kevin Ollie got there to the title without any Sweet 16 experience. 26 of the last 27 champs went into the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. Remember, we used to look at RPI. That also the exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies. Last 27 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. File that away. 19 of the last 20 were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. The 2014 UConn Huskies, the exception. They were number 39 in adjusted offense that year. And 19 of the last 20 champs were in top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency, the exception, the 2021 Baylor Bears, who were just outside of the top 20. They were number 22 in adjusted defensive efficiency. So if we look this year, Matt, currently, and I get it, we're early February. There's still a long way to go for teams to play themselves into this. But people like this formula because it works out. The only team that qualifies, and just barely, is Alabama, who are 20th in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. Nate Oates has been to one Sweet 16. But the real sort of hilarious part about it is the easiest qualifier is the one that they are just teetering on. They have 345 assists, but 330 turnovers. By the way, just before we get to your reaction here, Matt, the teams that are just on the outside looking in, and there's a bunch of them, Houston's Achilles heel is the fact that they're not in the top 75 in strength of schedule. Achilles heel based on this formula. And then UConn, Dan Hurley has never taken a team to the Sweet 16. And then in the case of Purdue, UCLA, and Kansas, it's just a matter of being outside of the top 20 for Purdue in adjusted defensive efficiency by one. They're 21st. And then in UCLA and Kansas's case, just outside of the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency. So anyway, it's an early look at this schedule, at this formula. But I do think that it in some ways reflects how wide open this field is this year.
Yeah. No, it's we've said it since the beginning of the year. It's a year where there's a lot of really good teams. I think if you're doing a tiering exercise, I think the tier two, even relative to years past, is actually really strong. Like in that 10 to 40 range, I think the pool of candidates to make a run to the Final Four, win it all, is as wide as it's been. But at the upper echelon, you're right, that's where it's watered down. We don't see those elite teams this year. Hence why you see so few of these, clear-cut qualifiers. Of the groups that you mentioned, or of this group that you mentioned, I think Houston, UCLA are my two favorite, right? I think UConn, Purdue, and Kansas I can poke more holes in on top of the baseline data that you're bringing up here. Houston's strength of schedule, I get that angle, but they can compete with the best of the best. I don't really put a ton of stock in that, again, in the context of this season. And then UCLA, I think, is kind of a sleeping giant right now. They've sort of kind of flown out of the radar. I think the whole Pac-12, no one sees them as part of it. They've had a couple of letdown performances, but the Pac-12 home court's always strong. There's always tough spots there. 18-1, I think, at Will Hill right now. UCLA is probably my favorite current national title pick if you had to choose.
I like it. 18-1 on UCLA. Again, just on the outside, looking at adjusted offensive efficiency. I asked this of Jim, your buddy Jim Root from Three Man Weave yesterday. I'll ask the same of you, which is, Saturday was a huge day in college basketball. So many outcomes. Purdue, he said, like when I asked him, what's your biggest takeaway from the day? One of his was Purdue, even in defeat, he might have had more respect for after that than he did even prior to that defeat. But I don't know, take your pick, Tennessee and Auburn in that low-scoring affair, like, can you trust Tennessee if they can't put the ball in the basket? Like, what was your biggest takeaway from Saturday? Or maybe it's juxtaposed against last night where it's like, okay, Kansas got rolled on Saturday and then they turn right around. They beat Texas yesterday.
No, I think you look at the last couple of weeks, to Jim's point, Purdue, even though they lost that game, just the way they competed and as competitive as it was, you could certainly have seen a scenario where Indiana just rolls them completely out of the gym, right? And I think that's how you actually have to give credit or filter through those teams that you want to classify as legit elite versus pretendery fickly, right? Like, I think every team is going to have a loss or two in key spots, but the ones that compete are really well in that spot, like Purdue did, the ones that actually rise to the occasion in that spot. I look at a team like Florida Atlantic, go a little bit down the rabbit hole of mid-majordom. There's a couple of spots this year where the Owls went to UTEP It went to UA, you know, really tough spots, and they still played really well. Not only just lost at UTEP, but I like to look at those really, really tough spots, you know, days rest disadvantage, big travel schedule, you know, other teams excited to play you. Do you perform? You don't have to win, you don't have to cover, but do you perform well in that spot? In the context of no great teams, in a scenario where you have all of these losses, upsets galore, you have to kind of grade the quality of the performance in those upsets to really pick through the litter that we have right now.
Have you also just absolutely let go of the UConn train?
I'm holding on by a thread. I think they're a good bet tonight, but you have to kind of reassess where they were, right? They're not the team we saw in the Portland MTE. They're not the team I don't think we've seen recently either. I think they're somewhere in the middle, right? It's just one of those situations where they've had such a every team has ebbs and flows. Their spike was abnormally sharp to the high, and I think their down was abnormally sharp to the low. I think they'll settle in kind of in the middle. They actually might be a little bit buy low right now. I think Hurley really likes how their defense is starting to shape up. I would not give up completely on UConn. I think their talent is too real. And I don't distrust Dan Hurley as much as most people do. And I'm not sure why, but I just have this feeling he's actually a better coach than people give him credit for. He's been known to adapt. He's adapting a lot this year, the way he built this team to get them from where they were starting the year to where they are now. I think he deserves some credit for that. So I wouldn't discount him entirely.
I've always liked him as a coach. I never disliked him. What you said you like UConn tonight. Is that one of your plays today?
I did take UConn as a sucker. Just feels like the, you know, I know fading Shaka as a dog is one of the least profitable strategies you can make in the investment business here, but I do think it's a little bit short in a pretty great spot here. I feel like they need this game. I think Hurley's up to this game. I think they get it. So this is the time of year where prices are pretty sharp, trying to back spots. I think home courts in these big major conferences have played really, really well. It's a tough handicap, man, but I think if you're going to play, you got to play low volume. You got to pick good spots. I think UConn falls into that class tonight.
Good game. 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific tonight. That's a little half hour earlier than most folks are used to. Some college basketball games start a half hour earlier, though. UConn laying 4.5 against Shaka Smart's Marquette team. Marquette, huge surprise this year, for sure. What else tonight?
Only other play, I took NC State, +7 on the road at Virginia. The Hoos have been a little bit of smoke and mirrors, in my opinion. Kind of running through the ACC, which is pretty watered down. They had a pretty poor non-cover streak for a while. They've kind of leveled off from that regard. But I just don't think this Virginia team's as good as they're ranked. I don't think they're as dominant defensively as people think. I think NC State can make shots. So take the pack here on the road, catching a touchdown.
All right, Matt. Always appreciate it. At @Maddie_Cox. That's Maddie with the Y. And at @3MW_CBB for all of Three Man Weave's picks all through the night. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry about your waves, Gil.
It's all right, man. Somehow they got a win the other night. First time since the Eisenhower administration they won a game. Thank you, Matt, for that parting salvo. Mike Martz maybe on the other side. We'll see. Numbers game, VSiN, the sports betting.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Always appreciate that from BetMGM. Don't forget about the Super Bowl, though, in our desk, our help desk, where you could submit your big game betting questions to all of our experts. Any questions you got, wondering about how to hedge, maybe you're looking for unusual props or insights from one of our hosts, the VSiN Big Game Help Desk is here for you. Submit your questions at VSiN.com/helpdesk, and it could be answered by our experts on air on VSiN.com. Here's a live look.
No, you don't tease through the zero. No, don't do it ever. No. Go to the website for more.
You're very
next
angry.
Next caller, please.
Why are you so angry at him, though? Jesus. People ask that question a lot? Is that why? You're sick of that question?
I don't know.
Don't tease through the zero.
Don't be stupid. I love his hat has been in the studio. I started here 4.5 years ago at this point.
Kid. Yeah.
You started here at the very beginning.
Yeah.
This hat has been in this studio ever since then. No idea where it came from, why it started in here. But it's sat right up here for the past 4.5 years.
It's amazing we still have it. We have that. And by the way, I just went to Visor just randomly yesterday, and there it was for you to put on and take help desk questions.
That's what, as soon as you brought up yesterday, I had to do the whole look around. I'm like, where is that thing? I know it's in here somewhere.
So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at Jordan Poole's numbers here. Talking about NBA Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, this is getting fascinating. So well, we did get Jesse Welch asked us on Twitter,
yes.
When did Westbrook switch to not being the favorite?
Malcolm Brogdon now the short shot.
That did happen like end of last week is when that switched at most shops, is when that moved. to Russell Westbrook not being the favorite anymore. Just, and I'm assuming here, but just because he's been wrapped up in more and more trade rumors. And I do have one more to add on to that as of this morning from ESPN. The Jazz have discussed a deal that would send a combination of rotation players, including Mike Conley and Malik Beasley, to the Lakers for 2027 and 2029 first-round picks. Wow. And Russell Westbrook's huge contract.
Has been discussed or is happening?
Has been discussed.
Who's reporting that?
ESPN.
Okay. Has been discussed. Boy, the Lakers.
Yeah, Tim McMahon over there.
Lakers would love to get that deal done, wouldn't they?
Well, the only thing is it's a lot of draft capital you're sending away, but you got to move this guy's contract.
You got to move the contract, yeah.
So, yeah, I wrote down everything, Gil. If you, I don't know which ones you want to go through.
Well, let me just start with Poole, because the Poole is the one. You can do the rest, but the Poole thing is what has come up the most, because Jordan Poole went from, you know, being a super short shot, not quite as short as Russell Westbrook, but he was, what, plus 350 or something at the lowest?
He opened as the favorite. Yeah,
But then, like, you know, right before Steve Kerr announced a couple weeks ago, hey, you know what? Jordan Poole's going to be in the starting lineup from this point forward. Like, he said it right after I made the bet.
Right after you made the bet.
And so then Jordan Poole went to, you know, big long shot, 25-1 and beyond. At that point, we even saw some 50-1s and 40-1s out there.
Yeah. So then this weekend,
right? Steve Kerr wanted to do an about face on that. He's like, no
reversal.
And then Steph Curry gets hurt.
Well, so what was tricky was I made the bet and I jumped in with you, pool pals.
Yeah, pool pals.
Pool party. Uh-huh. It's a pool party. I jumped in because I grabbed a 40-1 that was up here in town, and we got a couple tweets about it. Great tweets, just kind of pointing this out. Where Kerr had talked about he was going to switch his lineup around. But we knew Steph was hurt. We just didn't know how bad,
correct,
badly he was.
That's
hurt.
Right.
So I was like, okay, at 40-1, it's worth a few bucks.
And Steph has gone through the All-Star break.
Through the All-Star break.
So that's open-ended.
So
here's the issue. So the rule is you must come off the bench in more games than you start. The Warriors have played 54 basketball games. Meaning that there are 27 left.
Yep.
Jordan Poole has already started in 31 of them, meaning he's come off the bench in 23. So you have 23 games off the bench. There's 27 games left. That means you have to come off the bench in 19 of the remaining 27.
If he starts 10 more times,
it's over.
It's over.
If he starts 9 more times, it's over. So that's the thing. He's got to come off the bench in 19 of the remaining 27.
31 starts, 9 would take him to 40. He'd be okay then. Then it'd be 42-40 off the bench. 10 would make it 41 starts, right? 41 starts and then 41 games off the bench. Unless he's sat a game that I'm missing. Right. I have games started. He started 31.
Started 31, which means he came off the bench in 23. There's 27 left. Remember, he's got to go 19 off the bench. Either way, okay.
Right, yeah,
Either way, he has, it's getting kind of dicey.
It's getting dicey.
Because we don't know when Steph is coming back. And until Steph comes back, Jordan Poole is going to start. So do you bet him at 16-1? You're betting something very shaky.
Yes, I would cross him off the list at this point. Yeah. I mean, after what you saw with the starting lineup was last night and Jordan Poole walking out there with the starting five, I don't think you can make this bet right now. I don't think this is where one day Ken's going to get me my Telestrator set up. It's going to be fantastic because I'm going to cross off Bogey on here. I'm going to cross off Malik Monk. I don't think these guys are going to qualify. Benedict Mathurin, I don't think they're going to give this to a rookie almost no matter how well he does. Because how do you give it to a rookie who doesn't win Rookie of the Year, right? I don't know if that makes sense to me. So I'm crossing him off. I'm crossing Jordan Poole off. Okay, now we get to the remaining four that I think are in play. And, yes, is there a lot of the season left? There sure is, but I think we are down to about 4 years. Now I'm going to make the same kind of argument against Tyrese Maxey, okay? Tyrese Maxey, 33 games played.
Same thing.
He started in 22 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so smaller sample size than what we have with Jordan Poole as far as games and games started, but same issue, right? Where he might end up not qualifying for this award. So especially at shortened odds, and yes, he's coming off the bench right now, so that's the difference between him and Poole. Poole's starting right now, he's coming off the bench, but I got to cross him off the list, Gil. You're talking about any injury concerns or anything for the rest of the season.
He starts.
This guy starts, yep. And he could be disqualified from this award. So I can't bet him at 5-1 with that going on. Okay, now we're down to three. We're down to three guys that will completely qualify. You don't have to worry about the game started or anything like that for these three guys. I'll run through stats. Malcolm Brogdon, 24.8 minutes is what he's averaging per game. 14.4 points, 4.2 rebounds, 3.7 assists. Okay, cool. Russell Westbrook, 28.7 minutes a game, so a little bit more, some more minutes. 15.7 points per game, so slightly more points per game than Malcolm Brogdon. 6.2 rebounds, 7.5 assists, 1 steal per game. And then we have Norman Powell. 26 minutes a game is what he's averaging, so in between those two. He's averaging 16.7 points per game, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. So Norman Powell is the guy who's leading those three in scoring. In my opinion, if I had to make a bet right now in this market, it would be Norman Powell. I already have a Norman Powell ticket from before the season, but I think that's the way to look. However, I will flip this around, Gil, where I think if Westbrook, for whatever reason, stays on the Lakers and this number keeps drifting, I think there is a little bit of value that presents itself on Russell Westbrook.
I'm with you. What number did you have on Norman Powell before the season
30
started?
30-1.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. At this point, and again, this gets back to handicapping the voters.
Right.
Do we really think they'll look like 16.7 points a game for Norman Powell? How many of those voters are going to even care beyond that?
Oh, I don't really think. Yes, I think some. That's all they're going to care about. That's why I brought it up, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, you can make the argument of this is the guy who's carried this team when Kawhi and Paul George have had their little, you know, I need to take a day off, my load management sessions, right? The other one that, you know, JVT and I brought up on Hardwood Handicappers, Russell Westbrook, if he gets traded, right, he will still qualify for this award no matter what. But if he ends up on a team like the Jazz,
right,
starting for the rest of the season,
that he won't be in their head as a sixth man.
Exactly. Yeah. What voters looking at him and thinking that's a sixth man of the year right there who I've seen start for the last 2.5 months.
So if we just, again, in the same vein that we recommended the Milwaukee Bucks bet this earlier. Was it earlier this week or last week?
I can't remember.
That
was last week.
This all points to one person.
Yep. It does. I mean, look, Brogdon's
as
been
a
great.
Bet. Yes.
He's an awesome player, mm-hmm, on an awesome team. And look, he's not playing as many minutes as these other guys, which is a little odd to me. But I again, kind of like we said with Westbrook before, I don't really think there should be that big of a difference between some of these, where these guys' numbers are at, and Norman Powell's number.
It's the bet, Norman Powell, 6-1. That's available at DraftKings. Always shop around with these because there's going to be a lot of difference from book to book.
Totally.
That's for sure.
I mean, Jordan Poole alone, I'll point that out real quick.
Yeah.
That is still 16-1 at DraftKings. You can easily find that at 35 plus other places.
And even within the same day, right, there was a couple shops here, MGM and William Hill, MGM Nevada, bet MGM Nevada. It was 50-1 and 41 respectively. You looked an hour and a half later, and it was 16-1 in both spots. So keep an eye on all these. But Norman Powell, 6-1, stands off the page. We'll talk some Super Bowl 57 stuff on the other side, what we've bet already, what we're holding back on kind of thing. And tomorrow on the show, Rufus Peabody. Well, Rufus Peabody's joining us for the Megapod tomorrow. Let's see if I can coax him in for a little numbers game action as well. The guy who's probably most famous for betting props. We'll do that on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Hey, basketball fans, you could turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in bonus bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game, and if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in bonus bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Skill Alexander, by the way, our picks page, Kelly, should be mentioned. VSiN.com/picks.
Yeah.
I have a tennis play up there.
Oh, you do for today?
I do. I pretty much have one every day.
Okay.
But it's not, you know, it's not a slam. There's not 1,000 tournaments. There's thousands. There's 500s. There's 250s. There's 125s. There's 500 on the women's side. But my play today, because the women's play got canceled, I had Paula Badosa against Ludmila Samsonova. That I think Badosa pulled out. I'm not sure, but the match got canceled. So that's off the board. But I do have on clay in Cordoba. I have a clay court tournament. Again, the men have 3 tournaments going on globally. The women have 2 currently. I'm on Alejandro Tabilo. And I think you can get a better price on Tabilo than I did. So this one moved against me about 5 cents. I think he's about minus 120 right now. I got him minus 127-ish. So Alejandro Tabilo is the tennis play of the day. That's a few hours from now. But all of our picks on this show and every show on the network can be found at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers only.
Cordoba? Is that what you said?
No. That's where the match is.
No, I know.
Tabilo.
Apparently, yes. There's one in Dallas too. So
yes, there's an indoor hard court in Dallas. Indoor hard court tournament in Dallas.
Minus 115.
Oh, so moving against me even more now. So Tabilo was my play on there, but that went against me. So that's the one. He's going up against Del Bonis, I believe it is.
Yes.
So again, all of our picks.
Federico Del Bonis.
That's correct.
My 13th favorite tennis player.
So even if we don't mention it on this show, just keep in mind, they're always there. I'll try to answer, you know, Twitter as well, but I guess I don't want to cannibalize.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of those too recently, which, we always appreciate the tweets.
Yep.
But just, yeah, sorry if I don't get back to you. Or more likely, if you're tweeting at me on the weekend about an NBA bet and I don't get back to you, I probably didn't have anything going on.
Yeah. I do my damnedest to get back to everybody. This is from, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Kevin Bender. Kevin B., you're the GM of the Commanders. The NFL decides to do a complete redraft of all the players. You have the 4th overall pick. This is very specific.
Yeah, jeez.
Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen go 1, 2, 3. Oh, a redraft of all the players currently in the NFL pool.
Oh, okay. So we're doing like a Madden redraft.
Yeah. Mahomes, entirely. Burrow, and Allen go 1, 2, 3. Who are you taking at 4? Well, Justin Herbert, of course, right? Isn't that who you're taking at 4? If Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow are gone.
Needed longer to think about this one, but yes, probably so.
Justin Herbert.
This is my thinking position, by the way.
Is that with a hand up?
Lean back. I got the mic back a little bit.
Yeah. Need a pipe.
Stroke the beard.
I'm good.
Yes, I think it's Herbert.
All right. I like a thought exercise. All right. Super Bowl 57. The only bets I have made, Kelly, I made a bet on the Chiefs on the money line, plus 112. Again, here's sort of betting 101 again for the new bettors. Just because it's the Super Bowl, right? Doesn't mean you should be betting more on this game just because it's a bigger game than any other game. In fact, if you didn't bet it at all, that's okay too. I know that that's sacrilegious. This is not a huge bet for me.
Yeah.
This is one of these games where I think I said it last week as well with the championship games. Those were the 4 best teams in the NFL. Before we knew that the Niners were going to have a calamity, right?
We loved betting the divisional round.
I went crazy divisional
me
round.
Me too. We all did well. Me, you, I know Matt
we
Brown
well.
As well. We were talking, all 3 of us talking. We hammered that weekend. And after that, you and I have said repeatedly, these were the 4 best remaining teams in the NFL to us.
As I was saying.
And any of them could win a Super Bowl, right?
That is correct. That's what I was going to say. Those are the 4 best teams in the NFL. And so it wouldn't shock of any outcome, even though we're betting one side or the other. So I got the Chiefs money line here, plus 112. Would it shock me if the Eagles won this game? It would not. But I'm not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes on this stage. I'll take the Chiefs plus 112. And I did take, even though Travis Kelce has only had multiple touchdowns in 2 games this year. I believe,
really?
Yeah, only 2. I believe one was 3 touchdowns and the other was 4, if I'm not mistaken, though.
Okay.
but I took Travis Kelce. Now, again, here's the thing. I like my Rihanna and my America the Beautiful props better, quite frankly. But if we're talking about, you know, on-field props, the only one I bet so far is Travis Kelce, 2+ touchdowns at plus 475. Now, there was Kansas City Chiefs receiver news. Kadarius Toney saying he definitely will play Sunday.
And then Mecole Hardman ruled out.
And then Mecole Hardman saying, once again, that he was placed on IR, and they actually brought Clyde Edwards-Helaire off the injured reserve list. So those are the only two bets I've made. And obviously, a lot of books were reticent to put up Chiefs receiver props generally because they didn't know what the personnel situation was going to be. But that's the only one I've made, and that was sort of independent of that, Travis Kelce being sort of his own thing.
No, I like it. And that was, look, I've got one along those lines too. And you know, Matt Brown was on with us on Friday. And
Matt Brown will be in this chair next week.
Yes, he will.
After I'm gone. Yeah,
that's right. He will. Mm-hmm. When you're on vacation starting Tuesday, right?
Correct.
So, you know, Matt said something, you know, Friday that did stick with me, led to a bet of mine as well on Kelce, where it's just, man, we've saw it even in that last game. Sometimes when it's just Kelce and Mahomes, they can still make it work, even mm-hmm. when they're zeroed in on the guy. So without really knowing, we know a little bit more now what the wide receiving core is going to look like, as you just laid out with Hardman out, Kadarius Toney in. I still think he can go over his prop number, though, but just keep in mind, this is the time where, you know, you could bet these over, right, and you still got time to bet overs. A lot of these numbers are going to tick up as this week goes on and we get closer to the game. So if you're looking to bet overs, you might have already missed the opportunity, but get in now.
This is the biggest piece. Again, we went over this a couple, was it last week? Yes, it was last week. Rufus was here. Rufus Peabody was on the show. Was that last week? I felt like it was 2 weeks ago.
I think it was 2 weeks ago with Rufus.
Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. They all run into each other. Yeah. But anyway, we had the Rufus, Brent Musburger, Steve Fezzik back-to-back-to-back show. I think that was Friday.
It's two Fridays.
Two Fridays ago. But Rufus, who is, again, we'll try to have him do a doubleheader tomorrow on a numbers game and the Megapod. He will be on the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod, as he always is in the chair on Super Bowl Megapods, or we try to get him every Super Bowl Megapod. He made his hay when he first came to light in the sports betting community publicly. He had obviously been working at Las Vegas Sports Consultants before that. But when he first came to light was when the Washington Post did a piece on him during Super Bowl props release and how he made hay on those. And his model was really able to exploit those in the past. But what I asked him last week is, how has this changed over time? And the biggest change is that now, you know, instead of when the Westgate used to open up on Thursday, the week before the Super Bowl, he'd be in line, he'd go to the back of the line, go to the back line again. He still does that. But it's not the biggest, it's not like 95% of his outlay anymore that night. This is now sort of half, I'll paraphrase, kind of half of his outlay. He'll exploit that. But just what you said is what he said last week, which is this is the same trajectory. There's a couple things that happen the same way every Super Bowl. Yep. One is the betting public, sort of a macro thing, the betting public, for whatever reason, when they bet the dog, they bet the money line and not against the number. That's the biggest behavioral change when it comes to a Super Bowl. It's kind of this last shebang game. Let's just go for broke. Let's bet the money line. That's more pronounced when it's a bigger spread than it is this year. But that's how that goes.
And we saw that, Gil, with that map. Remember when we went over the map
Correct.
Last week, right?
Yes.
Where it was Eagles bettors laying the points, Chiefs bettors taking the money line.
The other thing with the props is just what Kelly said, which is, or what Rufus said, is the behavior is such that most of these props are going to be bet massively still to come Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. And so what is the casual bettor's brain wired as? Overs. That our brains are wired for human achievement, right? It's why I always call like betting unders, mm-hmm. you know, bet against human achievement. So the casual bettor is going to bet overs on all of these props, all of them. And so so now it's with millions more bettors at play, you really do have to hang back and wait and then pound unders late.
That's
the way to go.
I think the same thing applies to the game total here too, right? We've seen this slightly ticking up. If I was planning on betting an under, there's no reason to fire now. I still would be waiting.
None.
Still be waiting. Wait till this weekend.
It really is true. We are like hella early still for all of that.
Right.
But that's just general behavioral Super Bowl truisms that never change. never change, and they won't this year either. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.